disgusting.
I said, save it for the podcast.
Well, that is one way of looking at it.
Welcome back to another episode of Agricultural Acts. We told you that we would soon be talking more with the Mushroom Man, Avery and Amy from Caller City Mushrooms. And so here we are. We're at Indian Ladder Farms, and we've got Dieter.
Hello.
We've got Alex.
Boo boo.
We've got Scotty.
Sawadika.
And again, Amy and Avery, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Hello. Thanks for having us.
Producer's producer, Ritz Carlton. You want to make sure everyone knows you're here? A little sound effect.
Well, he just shredded that.
Yeah.
So,
where did that guitar come from?
Of course, being the fantastic and always focused host that I am of this podcast, we barely talked about the beer that was kind of the point of having you on, amongst other things. But we've got Scott, the brewer here at Indian Ladder Farms, and you've put together this delicious product together.
Yeah, it was funny on how this came out. Avery was like, hey, he came in after making delivery for the farm, and it's like, hey, you ever done a mushroom beer? And I said, yeah, I've done a couple. He's like, got anything with ratio? I was like, nope. So we kind of got together and tried to figure something out, and what we are drinking right now is Ganoderma.
Ganoderma.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Scientific name for reishi.
Very nice. So how much of this did you brew?
I just did a small batch on the three barrel. We did, it was 3 kilos? 3 kilos,
yep,
that we used?
Yeah.
So yeah, we used a kilo per barrel of reishi. We made it with a saison because I felt like it was the most proper way to do beer like this, because you have like the spicy yeast and you have the medicinal qualities of reishi, and it's very nice. There's actually no bittering hops in this, so it's just bittered with reishi.
Learning something new every day.
And it came from Knox too, which is the the land of the gods.
That's what Knox in Latin actually means. Knox in Latin is land of gods.
Oh, I knew that.
Amy and Avery, these were your mushrooms that you grew vertically, your farm in Lansingburg, Troy?
That's correct. Yeah. about half. And the other, like Scott said, Amy foraged in Knox. And I we mentioned before, we started to talk about, you know, getting mushrooms in the wild. And, you know, Dieter, you were talking about the plants, and Scott, you mentioned the hops. And it's, you know, mushrooms are very absorptive organisms. And when you are eating something that came from the outside, you know, you are tasting their environment. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that mountain air from Knox is in this beer right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's delicious. It's delicious. It reminds me of home. As I look up on the hill, I can just say, hey.
It almost has a little bit of a mouthfeel like a Belgian triple.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit... heavier than a saison.
Sorry, I just heard Simon.
Yeah, that wasn't someone screaming.
That was our donkey.
Get back in there.
He is not out. He is safe.
We also want to talk.
Good beer, Scott.
Cheers.
Yes,
very good man. You're a good man. Keep your job.
There's plenty more of this work going on. Would there be other varieties of mushrooms that you would want to experiment on a beer with?
Maybe a cider.
A chanterelle cider sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, I'm wondering what a lion's mane, like what would pair well with lion's mane? Like that would be interesting.
Someone somewhere have a lion's mane
Somewhere. I mean, a lion's mane
I just
mane
don't remember
ale.
Who.
But yeah, I mean, and Scott, you said you made a black trumpet beer before?
Yeah, so, I'm just tying my shoe. Yeah, I've done a black trumpet beer with used the base of a Schwartz beer, which is very nice. One of our old cooks that was here, because I don't call him a chef. So we did a black trumpet beer with Schwartz beer. That turned out really nice. It was very chocolatey, earthy.
Super earthy for
it,
sure.
It was awesome. He came in with like a whole Rubbermaid container of black trumpets. He's like, hey, can you make a beer with this? I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna use all of that, but because that was probably about 11 kilos. I was like, no way. Wow. And then Alex, when he was working with me in the brewery,
the first beer that Scott let me do on my own was a Chanterelle Goza, which is a sour beer. It's not easy to execute doing the right way. Huh. And I didn't execute it very well, but
just volume wise,
I messed it up. I left a valve open and dumped out some wort. But yeah, that one turned out okay.
I'd like to try that again.
That sounds like that could be
I'd like to try it again too.
So is there like, you know, seasonality of mushrooms? So like, when is a lion's mane available in this area?
Well, if
it's pretty much summer, during the late spring when it's growing, like, I feel like,
I guess what I'm getting at is, so what would be a good fall mushroom? So like, if we were to like say we're going to take the terroir of a fall mushroom and then the corresponding apple variety that is coming at the same time,
I would say maitake or hen of the woods.
Yep. Hen of the woods.
Hen of the woods.
Hen or the chicken of the woods are like later, way later, right?
Right.
In the season,
especially the hen.
Hen is probably the last like larger mushroom that you're going to see. But we grow
hedgehogs.
Ooh. Hedgehogs are real good.
Yeah.
Well, those would be interesting in a beverage.
Do you guys eat hedgehogs? Oh my god!
Oh, they're adorable.
Do you have a Sega?
Why are they hogged to the head?
Yeah, only blue ones that get coins.
Oh my god!
Lion's mane. We grow lion's mane, so those we could get any time.
Right.
We actually are growing a test crop of maitake that I just haven't felt comfortable selling because they don't look as pretty, but they taste really good.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were going to like grind it up and put it in a drink, I mean, it would be...
Bring it on down.
We'll
do some science with it.
Some science. We'll science
Bring
that.
Bring it on down.
So what do we got? We got the last apples coming in today. Those are Gold Rush. Which are a pretty strong, you know, flavor profile.
Okay.
So we need something that would hold up.
Oh yeah. Well, Amy, what can you tell us that one apple and maitake dish you made? Right? Then fennel. There was fennel, apples, and
sautéed fennel and apple with a really browned maitake, onions.
Oh, and we pressed it with a pan, and so it got nice and like crisp and flat and like browned, and oh my god, and we've served that on like a grain of like a wild rice.
Damn, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Cool.
My wife and I will be coming over for dinner.
Good. but the apples and maitake in a dish paired really well. So as a beverage, I think it would be delicious. I would drink the heck out of that.
All right.
Let's throw some mushrooms in the fermenter.
Let's wrap this up.
Where do you have the controlled environment at Caller City Mushrooms that you're able to keep it going year round? What happens in nature? Where do the mushrooms go in the winter? Are they like other living natural things?
Yeah, they migrate to Florida.
They live in the villages.
Yeah, what color loofah do they use? Are they a purple loofah?
I see the mushroom having a rainbow loofah.
The whole spectrum.
Yeah, really covering it all.
Well, so the mushrooms are actually just the reproductive organ of the mycelium. The mycelium is the organism itself. Like apples, you know, you don't go, oh, look at this apple tree, and it like you're holding an apple. You know, the apple tree is the organism itself. And so the mycelium that's either in the ground for terrestrial mushrooms or in a tree for the arboreal mushrooms, you know, is the organism. And so they overwinter by just being inside and kind of going more dormant. So similar to, you know, most animals that live, you know, during the winter, like bears and you know, other things that kind of consume all their food and then go like their metabolism slows down. That's what mycelium, you know, for the most part does, especially in the Northeast where it does get really cold. It just kind of allows the outermost parts of itself to die off. And then, you know, the warmer inner parts will persist.
I like these Avery and Amy people here.
They're good folk.
We knew you would.
Remember.
We knew you would.
Remember, he's from... And he's just from the hills, just like myself.
These episodes brought to you in part by Knox, New York.
By Burn Knox Westerlo Central School District.
Yeah. Yeehaw! I mean, we should take a break for our sponsors here. We don't have any fucking sponsors.
Simon.
No. Whoa. Oh, okay. Yay. Oh. So I want to say,
sheep, right?
Can I say, if you see a VW bus that is painted in green, blue, and yellow, and it says Collar City Mushrooms on the side, flag them down safely.
And make sure it's Avery.
And say, hey, what do you got there? What do you got in your cooler? Let me get some Lion's Mane, and I'll Venmo you. And they'll support them. Do a drive-by mushrooming.
Drive-by mushrooms, yeah. The bus usually does have mushrooms in it.
Yeah, get on the bus.
All right.
Go ahead.
Oh, Peter. Just for people who are listening, we've tried to have more of a... We're upgrading our studio here, but we are on a working farm, so if you hear donkeys and tractors, we can do nothing about that.
why was the mushroom in a bad mold? He was being a spore loser.
He didn't know there was a rim shot, so that's why he just wanted to get that.
And that's a great segue to what we want to talk about.
Thank you, Alex.
Cheers.
But we had kind of just touched on during the previous episode about this fantastic work that you're doing with NYPAC, which is the New York Psilocybin Action Committee, NYPAC. This is something that's just getting its feet on the ground here in the Northeast, and you're a big part of this. I came here from Colorado. A lot of friends that are still out there. I've been following what's going on there. So let's talk more about that.
Yeah, Colorado. I think it's the last I looked, 80% of the votes were in, and Proposition 122 passed with a 51-49% margin. So it's very close, and anything can happen still.
No,
But yeah, and that does create a medicinal model for psilocybin, where people would be able, similar to Oregon, where people will be able to consume it in a therapeutic environments. One of the things that we are working towards here in New York is being able to identify or classify a therapeutic environment in different ways. So on our in our group, our religious Orthodox Jewish people who use psilocybin as a sacrament, and they want to make sure that the religious leaders can be certified as able to facilitate experiences, different shamans. And, you know, like if you went through the safety course essentially and got the permit from New York, that you could then certify your living room as a facilitation center is something that is what I would like to see in the bill. Moving forward, I mean, ultimately we would love to see everything decriminalized, you know, and just everyone can grow and consume and exchange medicine as they see fit. But in New York, the way that laws are structured and the openness to change that the legislators have, it is going to be a slow process, I can almost guarantee.
Which is understandable in a way, frustrating, yet understandable. You want things to be done right.
Right. Yeah. Correct. And Pat Burke out of Buffalo, who was actually up for re-election and thankfully was re-elected this Tuesday, November 8th.
Yep.
And he is the one that proposed the bill that would create a structured system for therapeutic experiences. And he worked in a finance component that would provide funding for people who didn't have the resources themselves to still be able to have experiences.
Fantastic.
So, you know, insurance isn't going to carry these experiences to, you know, to begin with. And, you know, as we continue to prove out the efficacy of psilocybin as a medicine, then things will change. But in order to get the millions of people who are right now suffering from cluster headaches, depression, anxiety, PTSD, even like irritable addiction. Bowel syndrome. An addiction, right. Yeah. It's all of these people can be helped by psilocybin right now, that, and people that have been trying pharmaceuticals for years and it's not as effective and it doesn't work for them because we're all different. You know, our bodies incorporate medicine in different ways. And, you know, we've been getting so many testimonies from people who have already, even though it is a Schedule One and illegal drug, been using it for their health and well-being and allowing them to participate in society as contributing members. Mm-hmm. And without psilocybin, they wouldn't have been able to, or it would have been a bigger struggle to be able to do that.
Now won't this also take the stigma away from the scientific community to actually be able to do actual scientific studies, instead of just anecdotally, you know, being able to say, well, this really helped me or that helped you, this will help the scientific community to be able to do that.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, right now across the United States, there are a variety of studies that are currently in progress. And the first federally funded study incorporating psilocybin since the 70s is about smoking cessation. And so using psilocybin to help people, you know, stop cigarettes.
All right, Scott.
And I like mushrooms.
The latest study that I was reading about was amazing. They would, so there's a lot of talk about microdosing, these sessions involve, I guess it would be called macrodosing. We're talking correct. Like 20 grams or something. Whoa. Along those lines.
Five dry grams.
Is that okay?
It's the heroic dose.
The heroic dose. They put these people inside an MRI machine and see the activity that's happening. And it is incredible. You had said with pharmaceuticals that everyone's different, but the same area of the brain lights up in everybody. And continues to light up for maybe a month or so.
Yeah. And so one of the things that they have discovered over the last 30 years, 40 years of investigating the way psilocybin interacts with our physiology is that we have what's called the default mode network in our brain that is kind of like the operator that decides like what different parts of our brain are kind of getting communication and whose receptors are active and you know, guides our behaviors and choices. And psilocybin and LSD and mescaline and a variety of these other entheogens repress that default mode network. And that's why you see like all of these different receptors kind of open up in the brain, because the regulating system is shut down and kind of like, you know, goes night-night. Your autopilot turns off, right, 100%. And so that's where then, you know, all of these other connections that don't typically happen, you know, start firing off. And that's how people can break out of that rumination cycle. And you know, one of the things that I usually use to describe how someone can break out of a cycle of depression using a psilocybin session and therapy, I do think that it does require also someone to talk through and help integrate the experience. But if you think about your thinking as a record, and as you know, when you're ruminating, the needle is passing on that same channel over and over again, and you're just playing that same track, and you're just playing that same track, and you can't skip to the next track. Well, psilocybin helps you kind of like pour more wax on the record and then rewrite the track. And so with a therapist's help and you know, guiding you through integrating what the medicine kind of allowed you to see, you can then create some fresh music that will help you break through the addiction or get out of depression or, you know, kind of ease anxiety. And
can't we all use some fresh music?
Yeah.
Is that a dig?
No.
I absolutely love being a part of Agricultural Acts, this podcast that Dieter and the crew here. There is absolutely no but in this statement, because they have come up with this idea for this podcast and have brought on so many incredible guests. And I just want to applaud the two of you because you're some of the top shelf guests that we've had here.
Oh, absolutely.
Your knowledge and passion.
Analogies.
I just love analogies. And you're great, Avery.
I was a philosophy major in college, and I'm a poet. So
okay.
All right.
Fantastic. Yeah. Caller City East Mushrooms. Amy and Avery, right in Lansingburg, New York. People want to get more information or be more involved and see this process through for NIPAC. How can they do that?
Yeah, so so NIPAC was gifted a nonprofit, a 501c4 organization. So we now have assumed leadership of New Yorkers for Mental Health Alternatives. And so there's a NYMHA.com that you can go to that is going to be the hub for finding out more information. We have a NIPAC Discord that if you're interested in getting the invite, we'll send you the invite. You can follow NY Psilocybin Action Committee, all one chunk, on Instagram. Unfortunately, Facebook flags our name as a people seeking something.
Good grief!
Illegal.
Give
it
me
is.
A break.
It's always like you. Yeah. Maybe you need help. Maybe you need
maybe
help.
They
like,
need no,
I'm trying to. I'm trying to get help.
They're talking about mushrooms. Ban them.
Yeah. So right now. Those are the digital ways you can tune in. And November 15th is our next meeting in person. And that's actually going to be down in Kingston, New York. And there is always a Zoom component, so people can tune in from wherever. And we do have those meetings monthly. And March 20th through the 24th, we have the Capitol Walkway as a lobby day, and we have 17 tables for organizations from the Hudson Valley Psychedelic Society, Brooklyn Psychedelic Society, the Lens, which is a church out in Buffalo that currently facilitates psilocybin experiences as part of their religious ceremonies, and Cluster Busters, which is an intense kind of headache that they've found psilocybin is one of the only things that relieves the pain and suffering that people that experience Cluster Busters has. And so we'll have that for the entire week, and that's the hallway that all of the legislators pass through, and we're going to continually wash them with psilocybin news and hopefully get them to buy into changing the laws and creating an accessible system.
Great job. I feel like everybody is banging their head on the wall about mental health crisis and drug addiction and overdose and suicide and all of the whole gamut. And everyone's like, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? And you're showing this is what we can do. And
this is what we
you're
can
really
do.
Taking it to the next step with educating people and proving it. So thank you so much. That's beautiful. That's good stuff. Let's transition from that to back to food, because I love talking about it. There's so much that can be done. Indian Ladder Farm is a great example out here in Altamont of how the mushroom is turned into, for a lot of people, a very surprising, enjoying meal that they never thought they would be into. And we were talking earlier about, Amy, were you talking about someone who, what was the mushroom? Looks like a steak. They're pouring beet juice on it.
Oh, lion's mane.
Yeah, lion's mane.
That's so creative what everybody is. So let's talk about some of our favorite food items that that the mushroom is in and where to get them.
Yeah. Well, so our friend Matt Ollie at Little Viking in Troy, he is a vegan chef and he smokes the mushroom. mushrooms and turns them into basically a...
Wait, you can like smoke mushrooms? I thought you eat them.
Holy shit.
All right, I'm done. Where's that? I'm done. Sorry, I'm done.
I have two hands.
But yeah, he creates some amazing things with our mushrooms. He was actually the chef that did our last dinner in October, and we have Nighthawks always does. They're a farm to table restaurant in Troy as well. They do a variety of different dishes. They did an amazing pepino and fettuccine, house-made fettuccine dish with a cream sauce. Oh my God. DeFazio's gets our King Trumpets and turns it into a vegan mushroom pasta.
A bolognese
sauce. Di Famiglia Pizza on the end of Oakwood, also in Troy. They bread and fry oysters and shiitake and then serve them as wings, as their vegan option for wings. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. And some of the menu items here at Indian Ladder Farms, you had the po' boy. The poor boy.
He was such a poor boy.
Poor little fella.
From a poor family.
Yeah. So we've done the bacon, and so we've done the vegan bacon special here. That's been extraordinarily popular. But we love to see Avery every Wednesday. He shows up with big bags of mushrooms. So we've always got Color City mushrooms on the menu here at Indian Ladder Farms.
Yeah, and for their Thanksgiving meal, Laura has come up with a mushroom and green bean casserole, and she just was like, I want all of the different mushrooms, and I'm going to chop them all and put them in this casserole. So nice. We're actually getting Indian Ladder Farms for our Thanksgiving meal, and we are so excited to try this.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, we got a big pizza oven up a couple yards away, too, that's going in the spring.
Yep.
We're going to get it up and running, so I can pretty much guarantee there's going to be mushrooms on that pizza up there. So.
Nice.
Fantastic. So that everybody can support you and spread the word. Let's get all of your contact info out there, social media and everything.
Sure, yeah. CollarCityMushrooms.com is our website. We are on Facebook at just Collar City Mushrooms. We're also on Instagram at @collar_city_mushrooms. And you can just come right in to 333 2nd Avenue in Troy, New York, 12182. We are open Wednesday through Sunday. We have a variety of events and things that also happen. We do dinners on the farm. We have art openings. We have meditation. We're doing a knitting class.
There's no dentistry.
There's no dentistry.
I messed up on that.
Not yet. I mean, Alex, if you want, you know.
Alex has a cavity. We need to get rid of it.
I got a phone with YouTube. It can figure it out.
You've been a fun guy this episode.
Hey.
On behalf of Dieter, Alex, God. Scott, the producers, producer Ritz Carlton, and myself, Jeff, thank you for tuning in to Agricultural Acts. Please share. I think this is maybe one of the more important episodes that we've had, and a lot of fun, too. So share it with your friends and family. Amy and Avery, Collar City Mushrooms, cheers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. I hope to get more rim shots next time.
Rim job.
Oh.
You've been listening to Indian Ladder Farms Cidery and Brewery owner-operator Dieter Gary, its head brewer Scott Veltman, and its head cider maker Alex Gill. The producers and engineers are Troy Pohl and Ian Carlton. Any questions, comments, thoughts, or suggestions can be directed to podcastilf@gmail.com. That's podcastilf@gmail.com. I'm Jeff Morad. Thanks for listening. See ya!